If you guys would join me as we pray for the Pastor Jeff. God, thank you so much for today. I thank you for another Sunday to come together and worship you and hear more about who you are. God, I thank you for Pastor Jeff. I thank you for the wisdom that you've given him. God, I thank you for the heart that he has for people. God, the love that you've put inside his heart for the people here, the people of Nyack in particular. God, and just someone with such a on mission heart. God, I just thank you for that. And I just pray today as we get to hear what you've been teaching him, God, that our ears would be so open. No matter what we're going through, God, I know it's the start of a semester for so many, God, but I just pray that our ears would be so open to hear what you have for us, God, because I know that you have something for all of us. And may it hit us in a fresh way. We love you so much, Lord. Thanks for loving us first. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We're starting a new series this morning to kick off September. We're calling it Inner Life. And so this morning will be like the first and the introduction, and then there's a bunch of different things we're going to talk about. So here they are. Today we're going to talk about the image of God, that we believe here at Living Christ Church that you are created in God's image. And then following the next couple weeks, what it looks like when that image gets altered or skewed because of the fall of man. But then what it also looks like when God restores it. So next week we'll do fear to trust, and then lies to truth, an orphan spirit to being an heir of God, darkness to light, shame to honor, anger to forgiveness, cursing to blessing, grief to hope, and bondage to deliverance. We're going to be looking at these things over the next couple weeks. And then if you want to go a little bit deeper beyond what you're going to hear and interact with on a Sunday morning, we have a class we call Building Blocks, which goes after a bunch of these things in a smaller group setting. And we'll be doing Building Blocks 1 starting in January. So if what you hear on the Sunday mornings for the next couple weeks resonates with your soul or something about it you just feel like you need to spend some more time on, I'd really encourage you to sign up for Building Blocks starting in January. I want to give us some background on kind of this whole series and what it's going to look like. So I have some preconceived notions based on my relationship with God and his son Jesus, and so I want to look at it in this way. I believe that we were created in the by an intimate God in his image to have intimacy with him and others. That's a presupposition of mine, and from that point I'm starting this morning. We were given the ability to choose love in God. But we chose disobedience that led to separation. That Jesus, as God, chose to die for mankind in order to make a permanent way to restore us back to intimacy with God. And that now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live as restored people who are also in the process of being restored. This is kind of the context of which the overview of this whole thing that we're going to be looking at, and I want to start with a story. Humans are brilliant, and we create some of the most amazing things. Am I right? There's some every year, some new technology comes out. Our phones get bigger or smaller. Technology gets smaller, gets smarter. The things we're able to create, figure out, understand, brilliant. And I read a couple weeks ago that we're very close to being able to create lungs in a laboratory within 30 days. And so they could take your DNA, create a lung, and put it back in your body if your lung goes bad. We're at that point in civilization, which is crazy. And for the longest time, scientists have been trying to figure out how to create life. And so I saw this cute little story on the internet a couple years ago, and it was these scientists came to God, and they said, God, we're really close to being able to create life. And when we do, then we'll be like you. We'll be God. And he said, okay, come back when you're ready. And so a little while later, the scientists came back, and they said to God, hey, God, we figured out how to create life out of dirt, and so we want to show you. And so they reached down and grabbed some dirt, and God said, wait a second, get your own dirt. I have a presupposition that God is creator God, that he created all out of nothing. And we're not going to dive deep into all the nuances of how science may separate from religion or religion may separate from God. We're not going to delve into all those things. I know that we come on a Sunday morning with all different kinds of perspectives. I happen to believe it can all work out under God. You can believe in the Big Bang. God said bang and it happened. It doesn't, those kind of nuances for me aren't necessary. Although I have my own personal opinions, but I do believe that God is creator. How it happened, when it happened, all that kind of stuff for me is not necessary. I need to know that God is creator, that there is something beyond me. And this story gets fleshed out in Scripture, in Genesis chapter 1. And this concept of Imago Dei, or the image of God, that you were created in his image. And that's very important as we view ourselves and as we view others. There's a lot of questions about identity going on in America, who we really are, around the world, who we really are. And I believe that our truest identity is found in the fact that we are created by an intimate God who desires intimacy with you and with others. And so if you would open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, if you don't have one, there's one in front of you. In most of those Bibles, it's page 1. Genesis chapter 1, there's oftentimes a bunch of stuff there at the beginning, some preface and all that kind of stuff, but on page 1, you'll find Genesis chapter 1, and that's where we're going to be going this morning. And as we look at, for some of you, it's page 2, we're going to be looking at these three things this morning: that God is creator, that he created man and woman, and that he created us for intimacy with God and others. And so if you would join me in Genesis chapter 1, we're going to read the first 5 verses and then kind of talk about them this morning. It says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." So I just want to look at a couple of things here. We're going to spend a majority of the time on the image of God portion, but I did want to start with the foundation of that God is creator. In the beginning, God. And you'll find all kinds of conversations. How did this all happen? When did it happen? And we struggle with the beginning of life. We're going to be discussing this until every single one of us has passed away. But I do have this presupposition that in the beginning, God. I have a hard time in my earthly understanding and knowledge as I grapple with where did all of this come from? If you look around the world and see everything that we have in this world, it's very hard to believe in my humanness that it all just came from nothing. There is nothing in the scientific record that tells us that something came out of nothing. We haven't seen it in our lifetime. We have no account of it. So we theorize that it did, that it happened. And so we have these conversations constantly. You know, is there some kind of creator being? Is there some kind of God who started it all, or did it just arrive? I think it's statistically harder to think that something came from nothing than believing that there was a creator who was before everything and that he started it all. Just for me. That he created the heavens and the earth. Not just that he was in the beginning, but then he created it all. So everything that we see around us, is by design. And I think you see remnants of design in every single thing that you look at around the world. There's all different kinds of remnants or pointing to that there's something beyond us involved. There's intelligent design in everything that we see around us, whether it was created by us or it comes up out of the ground. There's intelligent design behind all of it. God saw the light and he said it was good. And there's this pattern through the next several days written about in Scripture when God got finished creating something, he saw that it was good. He liked what he created. And what is not to like about some of the things that we see around us? Right? When I see these little kids dancing around here without a care in the world, they have no idea the chaos that's out there. And they feel comfortable just dancing around. When I see that, there's joy that fills my soul. When I look at a tree and a leaf and all the little nuances that go into that, when you plant something in the ground and somehow it comes up and it survives, when you see those kind of things, when the sky gets painted with every color known to man as the sun goes down and the light reflects off the clouds and you've got this amazing painting and it changes every second, when you see those kind of things or you look up at the stars and go, wow, how in the world can I see those things that are billions of light years away? And the concept of how large and enormous the universe at which we live in is, hundreds of billions of light years across. When we look at all that, I cannot help but think that the word of God is correct when it said God created it all, because I see his hands on everything that's out there. That, and statistically, I don't know if you've ever looked into this, but this, the statistics of something coming out of nothing would be the equivalent of cutting 1-inch squares and placing them a foot high, side by side, back to back, all over the state of Texas, and putting a star on one of them, and then telling your friend to go out and find that one star on the very first time. It's statistically impossible for something to come out of nothing. And so when God says in his book, I created it all, I want to know that God. I want to know that God. And then he goes on in verse 26. He goes on in verse 26 to talk about you and me. And it's here that I really think we need to spend the most time and to focus on, because there's very specific things that God says about you and me. In verse 26, see, God is calling you and letting you know that he's trying to get your attention. 1:26, we're going to read to verse 31. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his image. In his image, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with its seed in it. They will be yours for food. And all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. I want to look at a couple of these things that God says about you and for me. And the first one is, let us make man in our image. In our image. And he says it four different ways over the next two verses. In our image, in our likeness, God created mankind in our image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. So, hey, humanity, God created you. Let me say it four times so you get it. Let me say it four different ways so you understand. There is a creator God who created you in his likeness and in his image. When we do not realize that, we view ourselves incorrectly and we view the people around us incorrectly. We'll talk about that. But let's look at what this really means. So this concept of the likeness or being created in the image of God, there's something that separates humans from all other created thing. There's knowledge and personality, and I understand that those of you who have pets see the personality or the knowledge or the remembrance of something bad, and they change and you see a dog, all these little videos of dogs on YouTube when they do something bad and their owner looks at them funny and they kind of put their head down and kind of don't want to make eye contact with their owner. I understand that there's personality and there's knowledge involved, but there is something different about humans. Things like the will, like a desire to do, to create, to build, to make up your own minds. A spirit, there is a spirit in people that is different than is in animals. It just is. And the ability for morality. Maybe an animal can choose good or bad based on what you tell them, but we have the choice of choosing good or evil on an everyday basis with everything that's involved in us. And language. Yes, animals can communicate, but not in the way that humans can. Not in the ways that we can interact with one another. The nuances of our language just doesn't even come close to what we see in animals. We were created in the image and likeness of God. Ravi Zacharias, I shared this quote a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to reiterate it this morning. God gave us the ability to love. And maybe you see your dog waving its tail when you come home and think, wow, he really loves me. He likes you a lot. But humans have the capacity to love. And Ravi Zacharias puts it this way: love is the craving of the human heart to belong in the sacredness of trust and in a relationship. It is what you long for and what I long for. He gave us the greatest gift and the greatest vulnerability at the same time when God created love. When he gave us the ability to choose him, he was giving us love. You cannot have love apart from choice. And God created you in his image with that choice to choose love or not. God blessed them. It's the only thing he blesses here in Scripture, or in this passage. And he says to be fruitful and multiply. Go and increase. Go and reproduce. Go and spread out over the whole earth. Because you're the ones I want to take care of this earth that I've created. And we do good and we do bad at this. Sometimes we do amazing jobs and sometimes we tear this thing apart that God has given us. The subdue is really to make subject in a healthy way. You're taking care of this planet that God has given us, not in a subjective way to push it down or subject it to its will and take everything that we want from it in a selfish concept, but to take care of it in a loving and compassionate way because God has entrusted it to us. So when you rule over it, you are in charge, you're responsible. Don't break what I gave you. It's the concept. And man, this is a hard one for us because we break it a lot. God saw all that he had made, and now it was very good. It wasn't just good anymore, it was very good. And it was very good after he created you and me in his image. Then it went from good to great. Now he had a creature, a created thing that had the choice to choose him or not. He didn't create robots who were forced to love him back. He didn't create robots who had to love. He created people imprinted with the image of God so that we could respond to him. And everyone that you see around this planet is an image bearer. And this is hard. This is super hard for us. Next week, we're going to talk about how this all kind of fell apart. And how, as the choice of Adam and Eve chose selfishness as opposed to what was best for all humanity, how it began to fall apart, and how we lost the concept of our image bearer, our being image bearers. But this morning, I really want to highlight this concept of what it looks like to be implanted with the image of God. Racism starts from not understanding that every single person on this planet is an image bearer. Hate, frustration, anger all starts when we stop treating the people around us as image bearers. When we look at somebody and don't see them as a created being by God, then we mistreat them. And we do it to ourselves too. When we cease to recognize that the God of the universe created us, then oftentimes we treat ourselves poorly. And we get to see these things fleshed out on small scales and large scales. Some of you know that one of my biggest pet peeves, is the people that don't put the carts back at the grocery store. I don't know why this frustrates me. It just does. And maybe it's because if you've ever worked in any kind of service before, if you've ever served in any capacity and people take advantage of your service, there's something that gets irked, right, about you. And what's crazy to me is when we don't see other people around us who need our help and our assistance. Those guys and girls that come out to put all those carts back, that's not their main job. And maybe that's why it frustrates me so much. They have jobs to do inside. So the stores made these nice little cart things, cart corrals, to put our carts back in. Hey, let me save you all time. Let me lower my costs for you, the purchaser, by giving you this nice little cart thing and allowing the guys inside the store to do their primary job. But when we don't do it, those guys have to be pulled off their primary job to do something that every single one of us could do. And maybe that's why it frustrates me. And there's times where I just stand out there, and if, full disclosure, I watch to see if people put their carts back. And man, the other day I was there, and I watched three people, you know, they're the next lane over from where the cart thing is. They're just, I mean, they're 25 feet away. So, you know, for them, 15 is the threshold. They're beyond that point, so they're just going to prop their cart up on the rail so the person that's trying to park the next time can't park. And I watched like three people do this, and everything inside of me wanted to go, what the heck is wrong with you? It's right there. It's right there. Take your cart and put it over there. There. And I thought, wow, that would, pastor loses it at ShopRite and gets arrested over carts. My favorite was one time my wife was shopping at ShopRite, and the person in front of her, in line, at the register, paid for their groceries and left the cart right there in front of Annette. Like, right in front of her. Yes! The heck is wrong with you? And Annette looks at the cart and looks at the teller, and the teller lady was like, not again. Why did it happen more than once? What is wrong with people? And I and you can continue to look at people, image bearers, and get mad and frustrated at their lack of living out their image bearer, or we can shift and adjust and allow the one who created us to change. So this last week I was at ShopRite, and I was looking at all the carts, and I was like, dang it, that's it, forget it. And so I just started grabbing carts. I saw this person leave their cart, I'm not going to deal with it, I'm going to just put the cart back. So I put the cart back, and this elderly lady saw me. You know what happened? She started helping me put the carts back. And she comes over, she's putting the carts, and she's just kind of watching me, and I'm watching her, and we're kind of putting our carts back together, and she looks at me, and she goes, you're a really good neighbor. And I said, you know what? So are you. And we're having this little moment at ShopRite, putting the carts back. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes in our image bearerness, we can see each other and we can recognize that we're fellow image bearers, and sometimes we don't. Because of the fallenness that we're going to talk about next week, we can completely negate that the person next to us is an image bearer. I got to see that firsthand when I visited Russia a couple years ago. And right near St. Basil's, if you look on Google Earth, you'll see it. There's this thing called the Labnoy Mesto. And it was kind of like this table. And that's where they would stand up under Stalin and they would announce who was going to be killed next for believing in God. Yeah, there's religions that cause wars all over the world. But more people die by the hands of people that don't believe in a God 10 times over. Look it up. And I stood there on that moment. I just nonchalantly sat next to it at first. And the guy that was our tour guide at the time said, I said, hey, what is this place that we're standing next to? And he goes, that's where they stood up and announced who was going to be killed next. And 10 million people who believed in God were killed under Stalin. And that's not to say that Russia is terrible. That kind of thing happens all over the world when we don't understand that everyone that we see is an image bearer of God. When we get angry, when we get frustrated, when we mistreat the people around us, we are saying, I no longer see that person as an image bearer of God. And if I no longer see them as an image bearer of God, then I can treat them any way I want to. I can. Because they're just that person. But God sees every single image bearer, and he wants all of you and all of us. And he takes it a little step further in Genesis chapter 2. So just flip over there. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18:25. It's the next page over. He goes into a little more detail about his creation. And in verse 18 it says, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He had brought them to man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that's what his name was. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked and felt no shame. They were both naked and yet didn't have any shame. So I want to look at a couple things here before we close. It is never good for any of God's created people to be alone. I think he did this on purpose. I think he created man first on purpose to show that the image bearers of God needed one another. You were created for community. One of the biggest lies of the enemy of your soul is you can do it all by yourself, or that you are all alone. You are not. There is a community around you who you need. Who you need. So I believe that God did this on purpose to set from the very beginning the concept and the desire and the need for us to understand that we are not meant to be alone. It wasn't good for man to be by himself. So he created, woe, man. There wasn't any created being that was suitable. And when both of them were created, then there was wholeness. You see this? At some point throughout history, we lost sight of the fact, I think because of the fall, that men and women are important. And we mistreat one another. And we don't see the beauty and the strength of man and the beauty and the strength of woman and how they're both important in the kingdom of God and his creation. And we try to push down one or the other, but both are necessary, both are needed, both are important. And here, equal. One flesh together. And this verse that oftentimes doesn't get read in Scripture, and to me, this is one of the most important verses in all of Scripture. If you've ever been to a wedding and Genesis 2 is read, they will stop right at 24. They will. Because we can't say naked in church. That's not acceptable. God created us naked, but we can't say it in church. This is one of the most important verses in all of Scripture, and this is why I think so. The man and the wife were both naked and yet felt no shame. And we go immediately, a lot of us go immediately to sex. But sex is 1/7 of intimacy. What we are seeing here is perfect and complete intimacy before the God of the universe. Complete intimacy. They don't even recognize at this moment that they are naked. It is a foreign concept to them. There is perfect and complete intimacy. There is not a care in their world. They are standing before the God who created them, and there is no fear, there is no shame, there is no anger, there is no frustration, there is no hurt, there is no pain, there is no depression, there is no anxiety, there is no worry, there is no trauma. None of that exists. In God's created space, his perfect plan for you and for me was complete and utter intimacy. And so when this all broke apart in chapter 3, he set a plan in motion for his son to come and die for you and for me to bring us back to Genesis 2:25 in the garden. Back to a place of intimacy. I am a huge fan of love. I'm the hopeless romantic. When people who are dating somebody who I just... Fair warning, if you come to me and you say you're dating this person and you just want to know if they're the one, probably 99% of the time I'm going to be like, they're the one, they're the one, they're the one. I may be the wrong person. I'm the hopeless romantic. I just like, so my wife will choose shoot 'em up movies and I'll choose the rom-com. I don't know what it, like, I like the shoot 'em up stuff, don't get me wrong, I like that stuff, I like the thrillers, I like the comedies, but there's something about a good rom-com when you see that, you know, that's, when it comes again, you're just like, it's so good, so good. I don't know, maybe it's because of my relationship with God, and that just, he loves love, and God loves love, and so when I see love, I'm like, yay! The scripture in 1 Peter says, love conquers a multitude of sin. So when love is present, sin gets pushed to the side. And so everything, I don't know, I just like love. So 1997 was the year I asked my wife to marry me. And so this is what I did. And I've failed to live up to this moment ever since. I did some really cool stuff when I was dating my wife, like really like romantic, like really cool stuff that makes my current self look terrible. So I'm working on getting back to this place. And it's, you know, maybe it's the fighterness in, you know, once you get the, you're like, yay, now I don't need to do anything else. That's not how marriage works. I can tell you about 20 years of that. But so it was December 1997, and after the fourth time of trying to ask her dad for permission, I finally, October, that's what I said, right? December, October. It's right there, Jeff. October 1st, 1997. And so after the fourth time of trying to talk to her dad, I finally got the words out of my mouth, I'd like to marry your daughter. And he was like, don't give her back. And I was like, what's wrong with you? There's no refunds. And I said, I'm not that guy. I don't plan on refunds. And so I got like, all right, what am I going to do? And so I liked the draw. So I drew this picture and I invited her to dinner. And we went to, because I was a college student, right? So we went to this fancy restaurant called Bennigan's. I don't think they exist anymore. It was the one in Nanuet or New City over there. It's not there anymore. I don't know if they exist on planet Earth anymore. It was like TGI Fridays or like a Chili's, right? Applebee's, it was like that kind of place. It's what I could afford. Come on, man. Love doesn't need money. And so we went to the restaurant and they sat us in the exact table. This wasn't on purpose. This was just God being cool in my story. They sat us at the table that we sat on our first date, because that's where we went on our first date, because I didn't have a whole lot of money. Listen, it wasn't McDonald's, all right? So don't rag on. So we sat in there and the whole time we're eating dinner, I almost couldn't eat dinner because I was all like in my stomach. I was like, I knew what was going to happen. And I had the ring. I had a friend of a friend that knew a jeweler, and I knew what she liked, and I sent it, and like he mailed it, and I had never seen it before until it arrived, and I was like, please, let this not suck, and it didn't. It was really cool. And when I had taken that trip to Russia, I bought this tiny little ring box, and so that there's a little black ring box on there. That was the actual box. That's what it looked like. And I had the ring in it, and I went, and I afterwards, it was like October, so you know it starts to get cold, and she was wearing like her shirt wasn't super long, and it was cold out, and she's like, man, I need a jacket. But her roommate knew what was gonna happen, so she couldn't go back to the dorm, otherwise it would screw everything up. So I took my coat off and I put it on her, and I was freezing for the next 30 minutes. I was freezing, and she's like, are you sure you're not cold? And I'm like literally shaking. And some of it was because I knew what was coming, I was going to ask her, and part of it was because I was freezing, like goosebumps all over my body. And we went to the first place that we ever hung out on, overlooking the river. And I told her this story, and as I'm telling her the story, my three roommates at the time drove by in their truck, just kind of staring at us, and she's like, what are they doing? I'm like, I don't know, they're just being weird, and they drove by us two or three times, because they knew what was going to happen. They knew what was going to happen, and they were waiting for me to go, yeah, and then they were going to blow, woo-hoo! Because we had dated all 4 years of college, all 4 years. So there was 53 people that started dating after us that got married before us. And so we were like, when is that ever going to happen? For the love of God, what's wrong with these people? And so then I got down on one knee, and I proposed, and she was like, yes! And we hugged, and my friends drove by, and I was like, and they're like, yeah! And she went back to her dorm, and she walked in, and all the people on her floor kind of peeked their head out, and she was like, ta-da! And they were like, yeah! And she went back to her room, and this was laying on her bed with 2 dozen roses and all this awesome stuff. Why? Yeah. Yeah. I need to up my game. Why does somebody do that? Why would somebody go through all of that? They go through it for love. Why would God create people with the choice of good or evil? Because of love. Why would he intimately create you? For love. Why, when we chose to disobey him, did he send Jesus, his own son, to die for us? Because of love. The God of the universe loves you way more than you can comprehend at this moment. Way more. So before we go any more forward in this series, I have a question for us. And inside your bulletin, there's a little slip of paper. It's blue. little blue card, and if you need, you know, another one of these, grab it from the First Impressions team on the way out. But I believe before we go any further in this series, we need to own this piece. And maybe you're not ready to own this piece yet. Maybe you're not ready to, quote-unquote, buy into everything that I'm, quote-unquote, selling you this morning. I'd really encourage you to take this card home with you and think about it over the next week. But today, this morning, if you're ready to own this, I want all of us to stand, whether you're going to own it or not, everybody stand. And we're going to make a declarative statement this morning. We're going to say this together out loud. And as you say it, I want you to listen to the people around you identifying with this phrase. And I want the enemy of your soul to hear you say this so that he loses his grip on you and me. I'm going to count to three, and then we're going to start, and we're going to say this together out loud. Ready? One, two, three. I was created by an intimate God in his image, and he desires to restore me to my true identity in him. All right. Let's sing together this morning as we close.